Well, good afternoon. This is Jim the Keys Bartender. It has been a while. Keys Bartender podcast about bartending and life. Yeah, it's been a while since we did the show. I don't know if it's age or if I had a little flu. I was just really busy, with the new opening. But yeah, I was losing my ambition to do anything other than show up for work and take care of my familial obligations. And I imagine everyone knows what that's like. You get to a certain age, you're just weary, 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 weary. I even got, what was it, a week ago, I got a one of those B12 shots to make me, and it's still kind of, God, I'm just feeling tired, 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 tired. Yeah, I'm feeling old, trying to take care of myself and feeling old. How depressing is that? Well, that I'm sure it's just temporary. Yeah, is that the famous last word? I'm sure this will pass. And when it's actually just me getting older and losing my energy and my verve and my vim. Years ago, they used to have that what a drug called it's still around, geritol. For Jerry, based on geriatric, it was a vitamin. It's supposed to give you vim and vigor. That was the actual thing. Fill you with vim and vigor. Geritol. You figure they'd come up with something with a G in it, but no, they use V in that. So I wanted to talk about listening, but I guess that would be something if I could just do a podcast with me just listening and nothing going on. And just listening to what's going on around me, and there'd be no noise whatsoever. No, I'm talking about listening at work. I have a tendency when someone comes up, I have a predictive nature. When someone comes up, I'm thinking it right before they come up, they're going to ask me for the bathroom. They're going to ask me about my menu. They're going to ask me what kind of liquor some we have. Well, yesterday, it was a nice young couple. They ended up being from my neck of the woods, from Philadelphia. And they came in, and people come in and they're on vacation, and they're impromptu with their questioning. So here I am working yesterday at the Amerada Brewery and Distillery in our beer garden out back. And they have a food truck there, and the food truck's owned wholly by the brewery, and it's staffed by Amerada Brewery and Distillery employees. So it's our truck. So the woman wanted to ask me, "Oh, is that your truck, or is that like someone else's truck that you allow to be on your property?" Easy question. When she goes about asking me, "Oh, is that truck over there, the food truck, is that your food truck? Or is that someone else's food truck?" I'm not mean another business food truck. I mean owned by someone else who's not the owner of your place. And do I order from them or do I order from you? I mean, I guess I can order from you to order from them, but are they that? And she asked that question, and I was, wow, I could never have predicted that this question would come up. So I went, I said, well, that trailer showed up one day, right? And then these menus showed up. And then we decided just to order for them. We would order and then did the menu, and we don't know really who works there. But they will give you food, but we'll take their money, but they never ask us for money. And it doesn't seem like a really good business model that we get to collect money for food that they're serving you, and we'll take your number. And I go about it, and she's like, just trying to follow me. And I go, hey, does that sound? And I'm looking at her significant other, this gentleman, and he goes, wow, that sounded exactly like the question that my girlfriend asked you. And I said, well, I was trying to match the energy of the question. And they were laughing. And I said, listen, if that was a little too harsh or anything, he goes, no, I was just amazed that you did that so quickly. And I said, no, I was just amazed that you asked that question. It just made my day. It was wonderful. It was wonderful that you're here. And I said, just because of that, I'm going to spend an extra amount of my attention towards you. So whatever you need, my name's Jim, blah, blah, blah. And I say, you just made my day. That was a great question. I said, I'm so my head's still reeling from it. And it just goes to show you, it feels as if sometimes I'm really on when I'm bartending. I'm having a great time. People are laughing. No one's getting hurt. I mean, emotionally hurt. Obviously, if someone's getting punched in the face, they're getting hurt, but that doesn't happen. I know in all the years I haven't had someone get punched in the face because of something I said at the bar while I'm working. You like how I qualified that? While I'm working at the bar, no one got punched in the face or cried yet. But it's hard to be on. It's hard to be on all the time. And then when you hear people, when they recommend, you say, oh, that guy's very funny, and they're waiting for you to do something funny. Well, I mean, unless you have like you're one of those prop comedians, just brings out stuff. People have their jokes. I call them people that have jokes, kind of a prop comedian. You have the funny hat, fake mustache, maybe the googly eyes, or the joke that you always bring out, or you wait for a situation and that's it. It's almost as if the person that comes up provides you. Is it such an important 50%? 50% of the ingredients of being funny is your audience. Is your audience. It really is. If they're ready to have a good time and they're funny and you're vibing off them, they're vibing off you. When I say vibe, I mean you're picking up to their meaning. You have a feeling they want to have a good time and relax. And they're wanting to have an interplay with you. I was going to say intercourse, but intercourse in a non-sexual manner, just to get, they want the give and take, and it works. I mean, that's, you got to really, sometimes it's a rarity. If you're the kind of person that you need a certain person with a dry sense of humor that doesn't necessarily get what you're doing. To be funny, or someone you can interact with lots of people as long as they're intentionally there to have a good time, then the wider base you have of being funny to different people. There's some people that just like jokes. They just like jokes and want to tell jokes. And they're good at remembering jokes. I'm not good at doing jokes. I just do that. I love hearing some people are very good at telling stories and they'll tell a story about funny thing that happened to them. I'm not kind of person. I'm not that kind of person. I mean, I can tell a funny story, but not all my stories are funny. Sometimes if people say, listen to the story and you go, well, I mean, I told a story and right at the end, it was just nothing. Meaning there was something. But yeah, at the end, I talk about a trip to the grocery store and stuff like that. And I thought something funny happened. And I'll describe it about me looking for some fruit. And then, and then I'm picking up some blueberries and some guy's looking at me, come up to say hi. And when he came up to say hi, I kind of threw the blueberries up and the lid to the blueberries opened up and the blueberries went everywhere. And I'm trying to kick them with my feet to keep them from hitting the ground so I don't smash them. Looks like I'm doing hacky sack with a bunch of like 100 small hackies. And the blueberries go all over and this guy's just laughing. And he's reaching for his phone. And I looked at the guy and I said, if you take a picture right now, I will kick your ass. And I did say that. And then he apologized. He goes, I'm sorry. I thought you were my friend that came here with. And that's exactly what he would have done. Can I bring him over? And I said, and I just was so embarrassed at the time. So embarrassed. When you do something embarrassing, but I just kept quiet. And then that was the end of the story. That was the end. There was nothing really funny after and stuff like that. I think the guy pointed at me when I was in line with through his friend, and the guy didn't even look like me at all. It's not like he wasn't handsome or anything like that. I'm not saying I was handsome. Wasn't. It just didn't look, like someone. I've seen people say, this guy looks exactly like you. And I'm saying, I see a resemblance. Tall, dark hair. Yeah. Okay. I get it. And then you see, when they look at you and you think, oh man, I'm definitely a six. Oh, that guy's really good looking. I go, oh man, that person thinks I look like that. Okay. That's great. But yeah, right after that end of that story, there was a one of the workers came over and he says, I'll clean this up. And I said, and I started picking up. And he goes, and he looks at me and goes, no, really, I'll clean this up. And they said, no, I can't do that. And he goes, what? I said, I can't leave you to clean this up by yourself because I did this. And he goes, do you know that most people just walk away? And I go, yeah. And most people leave their carts, in the middle of the parking lot. And he says, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. And it's not, I'm not trying to make myself a better person or anything like that. And I tell that story, and the story falls on deaf ears. Because the funniest thing that happened was the blueberries going everywhere. And I kept on going. See? So, but the best thing you can do for a person with a roundabout way in a bar is listen to them. Is listen to them. It is, making sure you can repeat things they say, especially people that are not fans of either you or your establishment. That's where you can turn it. I mean, obviously, when someone's a fan and you listen to them, it just reinforces it. But the best thing to do is to turn around your critics, and listening to them and having them know that you're listening to them, it goes a long way into convincing people that you are there to provide customer service. And it kind of denotes, it gives that credence to the place, is that we really care about the people. We're trying to do it. We're in flux. We're a new place. We're trying to, just as, oh, we're trying to change the course. And that's a good one. You say, yeah, we've been here a while. We're just trying to change our course. Do a little different. It may sound like a tactic, but it actually provides the most information you can get and the best information. If you spread it across all your patrons, you will get a good read from listening about the things they need to address. Meaning, yeah, I go into a restroom a lot and stuff. I think it could be a little cleaner. That's always a thing in restrooms, keeping a restroom clean. I've been in nice places and restroom cleanliness clean. Or refilling waters. I know right after I say keeping a bit restroom clean, refilling waters. People feel comfortable asking for another drink, but sometimes they don't feel comfortable asking for water again. But when you see it, if they drank one glass of water, chances are they're going to drink a little of another. So refilling that, and people say, oh, well, it's not, we're going to be thirsty. And then you go, wow, that's from listening to people. I've seen, heard several times that we need to refill the waters. Or could you remove this stuff, some of this stuff from our table? That's, you hear this. They leave a lot of stuff on the table. So pre-bussing is important. We learn that. Or some idea with the food. This item is very salty. Your Caesar dress, you don't put a lot of Caesar dressing on your Caesar salad. Maybe provide them, put the normal amount of Caesar dressing to it, but provide them a little extra. For people that like it drenched. There you go. That, sometimes that's wasteful and things like that. Would you like additional? Our salads are somewhat on a drier side because it's easier to add than subtract. That's what I always say to people. When they say something like, oh, I like a sweeter Manhattan or sweeter old fashioned. And then I say, well, it's easier to add than subtract. I can always add it. So I always tend to go to the drier side, meaning less sweet, adding less simple syrup or less sugar cube or whatever. Whatever. It's always in old fashioned, it's sugar cube or simple syrup. And they listen up and they hear that you heard them say it. And they say, listen, though, if you do in the future, and this you heard what they said, and they said, oh, we do have a tendency to make it, but we don't want to make them too sweet for the people that don't want them sweet because we can't take it out. But if you know beforehand, he says, you Just tell me or the server that you like it sweeter. I will address that. And if you get one that isn't, we will address it after that. Oh, and one funny thing I did hear about, I had a coworker, actually his coworker, I think it was one of my, well, no, it was one of our patrons. That's my phone going off. I'm going to be ending this segment shortly. I guess I could have turned off this ringer. There we go. So they were telling me a story that his mother, he brought his mother, his elderly mother, to the restaurant, and she liked old fashions. And when she got hers, it wasn't to her liking. And this person said, oh, maybe the person made it differently because mine's delicious. And this other person walked up to her and said, here, try mine. And the woman pushes her glass towards that person. She drinks that one. She, oh, yes, this is much better. And she keeps the drink. And she was a good 40 years older than the person that offered her the drink. So she just took ownership of the drink and just went our merry way. That's a good story. But, if they had told the person, some people, if they're not going to tell you and they come in with a preconceived notion that they're going to say they're not going to like the place, you can try. It's hard to convert. It's try to convert the people that already decided, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't. And making an effort is a it's good faith. It's good faith to the people, the ownership, your coworkers, and to yourself to try to turn a no into a yes. And listening is a big part of that. So I'll be back in a moment. Thank you for listening. I will be back in a moment. Are you listening? I'm listening to you. I mean, if I was listening to you, I guess I would call you and you'd say something and I'd call back. But that's enough of that silliness. I'll be back. Wow, it is super hard for me to focus. I am definitely, I think my brain's beginning to atrophy certain parts of it. It's like having a muscle where you're not moved around. You ever see those wealthy women posh women walking around with their little toy dogs, their puppies in the bags? What was it the other day? We had two women coming up to our place of business, and they had their dogs, and they weren't service dogs. When you're carrying them in the bag, when you're carrying your dogs in the bag, it's very hard to say that they're service dogs. It's just something, I guess, something some women do. I don't understand how they pay attention to their dogs and do all that, have all that time to go shopping for clothes and doing a hair and makeup and things like that. I just don't see how it happens. And I say, I don't see why you'd have a dog. It's eventually it's going to be little robot dogs they'll have because they won't have to walk them and they won't poop in their purse and things like that. But what happens is the dogs, when they get carried in the purse all the time and they're not walking around, their muscles atrophy and they're not comfortable walking. They just don't interact. They're used to being carried around. They can walk around the house, walk around whatever cage I imagine they put them in a cage and wherever these women live, so they don't get stepped on. I mean, these dogs are like 2, 3 pounds. We have a tiny dog right now, Apollo. I have no idea how big Apollo gets. It's probably around 11, 12 pounds at most. You got to be careful around this. That's kind of why I like big dogs, because you can accidentally fall on a big dog and he'll be all right. But these little dogs, if you were an avid fan of Sopranos, much like I was, there was a scene where Christopher, the Moltisanti, Tony Soprano's nephew, is coming home. He's addicted to heroin and he shoots up and he accidentally flops on the couch on top of his fiance Adriana's dog. And when he comes through, his girlfriend comes home and she finds the dog dead underneath him. I think that's the way it worked, that dead underneath him. And he goes, "Oh my God, the dog must have crawled under me for warmth." No, you sat on him and strangled him or crushed him. So yeah, these little dogs, they're just not really resilient, especially around giants, living with giants. That's got to be what it feels like. Got a 3 pound dog, live around people that are 200 pounds, that are 60, more than 60 times their size. I mean, they have to be gentle, like King Kong, when King Kong picks up Fay Wray or Jessica, whatever her name was in the reboot from the late 70s, early 80s. My brain's feeling as if it's atrophy, and I need to do the podcast in order to keep it lively, to come up with subjects. My God, only 3.5 minutes went by. It seemed like I was talking for hours. I hope it didn't feel that way to you, because then I'm in a lot of trouble. But I was talking about the previous episode, listening to people, and they pretty much tell you what you want to, what you need to know to, let's say, have a successful bar restaurant, have a successful relationship. Listening to your partner or your friends keeps a relationship healthy. And a lot of times we do a lot of talking and very little listening. And sometimes we pretend to be listening and we're thinking about the thing we're saying. We're going to say next, and not what that person's trying to tell you. My wife, today is her birthday, and for the life of me, every time her birthday comes up, or it's International Women's Day, or it's Christmas, or whatever other holiday, Valentine's Day, I have to struggle to remember exactly what she likes. I can see her eating. She likes vegetables. She likes salads. She likes milk chocolate. She doesn't like dark chocolate. I'm figuring this out. It's taken, oh God, it's taken upwards of 16 years, right? It's 15 years. Let's say 15 years. I'm starting to get that. Yeah, the kind of cake she likes. I was going to get her gift at her at some place. I was getting a gift certificate for a spa day. And they were saying, "What kind of cake does she like?" And I just thought real hard. I go, "Oh my God, let's go." And then a million pictures pass around. She doesn't like, she said, she likes pie, but pie, I tell people pie, what kind of cake you like? I like pie. But I do like cake. I have had cake before. I like yellow cake with chocolate icing. Milk chocolate icing, to be exact. And so it popped in my head, a white cake with strawberries and stuff like that. It's a white cake from strawberries from one of our favorite bakery inside of our a local supermarket. And I remember, I just didn't know the name. And she confirmed it yesterday. So, I mean, I remembered something. So on one hand, I feel as if my brain's atrophying and I can't remember anything. I can't retain. I always had a difficulty remembering people's names. I always had a difficulty. I mean, I was a maitre d', and I would do the announcing for wedding parties. That's what maitre d's do in the northeast part of the country where I'm from. At least from the catering hall I worked, the maitre d' would be the MC, and they introduce people. And we read their names and repeat their names and say their names. And as soon as they walk out of view and stuff, like I forget who the bride and groom's name is. This one on 20 and 30. This could be, I could have a pickled brain, right? One of those drunkard's brains that you hear about. So like I just can't remember. But I can remember things historically. I mean, listening to Jeopardy, and you heard me say this many a time. I can remember an arcane fact. There was a question about what did they call the Indian soldiers or the Indian soldier assistants that were in the British colonial India, right? The Raj. And in They're asking a question. I didn't know the question, but the word sepoy, Sepoy, popped in my head. And the person said, "What is sepoy?" And I go, "Holy shit." I was shocked that I remembered it, even though I'm a history buff. And it's just one of those things. It's one of the things. I don't know, is it that I remember it, or I'm confident in remembering some subjects? And when I'm not confident and I tell myself I'm not good at names, I automatically become not good at names. Someone tells me their name and I forget it. When I move to the new place to go and work, I'd forget a person's name, like a guy comes in named Joe. Joe. I mean, I would talk about a common name at a bar when you come in, but there's not too many Joes there. And I remembered his name, Joe. And there was this woman who came in with another woman I was acquainted with. I remember her name, but I rarely ever remember other people that come in. She goes, "Hello." And she may have introduced or not have introduced, but I do recall when the woman paid, I saw her first name. And the next time she came in, I kind of remembered where I knew her from, but I remembered her name as Denise. And I started thinking, maybe I'm not bad at names. When I say people's names, people say, say your name is Stephen Karen. Remember Stephen Karen because of the way they told me, for some reason, I thought it was important to remember their name. And I was having a hard time remembering one of the owner's names in the new place. I had a hard time remembering. And I had a problem. There was two women I worked there. It was Courtney and a Crystal. Actually, there was two Courtneys and one Crystal and two Kelseys. I could remember the Kelseys. I could remember the one Courtney. And I can remember the Crystal, but sometimes I would interchange Crystal with Courtney on the other Courtney. And it just holds me up to this standard that I have in my head. If I can't remember what people's names are, and not recognizing, I talked about this, not recognizing faces and how I should know these people. And I talk to so many people in the course of a day. I may talk to On a slow day, I may talk to 30, 40 people. On a busy day, I talk to over 100, 150. So I could become, and then if I in a place where I know a lot of people, I could end up talking to 150 people. I was at the Publix, and I ran into a whole bunch of people at the supermarket I was. I recalled their names. It takes a while to dig down a bit. When you go Tommy, Todd, Taylor, Tyler, Terrence, Timmy. That's the way and then once you start searching for the second name, it screws it up. You're like once, but if you have one, if your gut instinct, the first gut instinct, that's usually right for me. Usually right. There was, it's just when you start self-doubting and you're not, it's just cr crazy. And it's just like memories and listen. And so listening to what people have to say, and when they tell you their name, it's almost after someone introduces their name, as you remember, my name is Olo. There's a one of oh, someone I work with, his name's Olo, because he has a different name. O Oluwa, I think his name is really, but he goes by Olo. And I think Ollie or Oli. I don't think Olo. Now I know Olo because I said it. It was the first time I was thinking of remembering. The guy was calling me Tim for the longest time. I don't think this person's listening to the podcast, so I don't have to worry about it, stuff like that. He's calling me Tim. And I was at first I was going to call him Olio. And I think that's worse than him calling me Tim, because Jim and Tim are similar and there's no derogatory. Olio, that's a butter substitute. Who's whose name, I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there called Olio. This ain't him. So listening and hearing someone's name, putting in context, you know, I can think of my cousin. I can picture when someone introduces their name. I get associated with my cousin Steve, who's the closest Steve in my life. I can think that about Paul. I think that about Cassie, my sister. When anybody says that, I just put it right there. That's what a name is. That's where I remember it. And every time that I start doubting myself and start thinking, oh, I just can't remember. Well, a lot of it has to do with I'm not listening. I'm being lazy. I'm not actively listening. I'm not repeating the name back to myself, putting the name back in context. I mean, listen, and yes, what's your name? My name's Jim. And they tell me their name. And then I start thinking about it. You know, the name, trying to think about the things they're saying afterwards because they're important. And you can just say, hey, listen, hold on a second. I got to process your name. If someone comes up, someone came up with a unique name, I go, oh, beep, 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 stop. It's not that I want to make a big show of this, but I need to make a big show of this. I got to remember, I got to put your name in perspective. I got to think about it. So let me process this for 1 second before you tell me all the other interesting things you're about to tell me. Because I will forget. I will forget the first thing you told me, and I'll forget the second thing. Because I'm still thinking back. I'm thinking about the name that I already forgot. That's my active listening tip for myself. Is to maybe put the brakes on when I'm introduced to someone and say, you know, when you got to do a little more small talk. It's just that it happens a lot because when I'm at work, I go, hey, welcome to the so-and-so. My name's Jim. And people say, oh, well, I'm Gary and this is Maddie. And I'm going, wow, okay, Gary and Maddie. And they're about to tell me their order. Now I'm concentrating their order and I'm forgetting their names at the same time. And don't you know it, if I turn my back on them to get their order, I forgot their order already because I started thinking about their names. Now I remember Gary and Maddie because I came up with it. Maybe I came up with it. Maybe that's not the same thing. And we always go back to the name. And then Gary's drinking this, Maddie's drinking that. They're not sure about it. She likes something sour and cold. Puts it all in context and makes it easier for me to remember. Well, this is Jim the Keys Bartender. I'd like to thank you for listening today. I will be back again someday. No, probably tomorrow. I think tomorrow. I have time today. Bye.